can save this world today. Power. Jesus, you're the only power.
Power.
That can save this world today.
Power.
You're the only power.
Power.
That can save this world today.
Power.
You're the only power.
Power.
That can save this world today. Anybody come to praise God today? Put your hands up. Let's go.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, who strengthens all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. I welcome you all with a short prayer. I ask that God stretch his hand, that it reaches across oceans, that it reaches across hurts and pains, that it reaches across trials and tribulations, and touches every single person who has come to the call, to the pavement, to the altar for today's word, to touch and agree with us around this country and this world. I ask God that as wars are raging on this land, that as wars are raging in our hearts, that as wars are raging in our families and in our communities, that you steady our mind on peace, that you give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that your promises of seeing peace and the goodness of peace in the land of the living manifest today, now, in somebody's life, in somebody's experience, in this exact moment, before this call is even over, God, I pray that you take the turmoil, the anger, the hurt, the confusion, the weight, whatever it is that women are carrying, God, and that you put it and wrap it into your arms, God, and remind every single woman here that though our burden may be heavy, when we walk with you, it can be light. I say this prayer in the name of the ancestors, in the name of the Holy Spirit, believing it all to be true. Amen. Welcome y'all to day 3 of Girl Trek's 9-day prayer trek. My name is Vanessa. I'm the co-founder of Girl Trek, and I have the pleasure of leading these calls each morning with my partner, Morgan. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
It feels hard, y'all, to talk about peace today, with especially what's happening on the news. And just what I know to be the personal stories of so many women. And yet the last 2 days have really shown me through your text, DMs, prayers, testimonies that what we are doing together is working. So I'm standing and believing that it's going to work. And I'm going to remind y'all at the top of this call that if you have a specific prayer request, you can text it live while we're on this call to 202-930-2063. And if you have a testimony, if something has been working in your life, if you've overcome something, if you have experienced that peace and you want to share it on today's call, you can raise your hand by hitting star nine, and you will get in the queue, and we will make space for a few voices to come in to the conversation. And we will also have our amazing special guest, and we're going to have her in just a moment, actually, the Reverend Dr. Nichelle Guidry, who is from Spelman College. But Morgan, how are you holding up with all this happening in the world and the news? How are you holding a vision for peace right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not looking. Uh-oh,
Morgan, hold on. Sorry, you just broke up a little, and I want to make sure people can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I said, honestly, I'm not watching the news, and I'm holding all of it with benevolent detachment, and every evening I listen to the five-minute summary of what happened in the world on NPR. There's a little podcast, but I don't watch it. I know it, but I don't watch it. And I'm holding it with benevolent detachment because I'm one person that's connected to a great spirit and a network of goodness. And as one person, I can't hold it. I can't hold that level of, I can't hold that level of conflict and contrast. It feels like it's exploding my little body. And so I don't turn my back to what is true. And what is true is that thousands of people are dying. And what is true is that the greatest imbalance on the planet right now is human fear. It's caused by human fear, and I know that. And I also know that while thousands of people are dying, in Israel and Palestine and Gaza, that there are also thousands of who are dying around the world from also war, but also hunger and starvation and a lack of clean drinking water and all sorts of things. And so for me, feel such solace in knowing that, like, that every single day I have devoted my life to trying to alleviate suffering. It's just the truth. Mm-hmm. Every single day of my life. And that's all we can do is we can seek joy and we can try hard to alleviate harm and not cause harm on other people. And then we can love without conditions. And that's every single spiritual practice in the world. And I just want to make space for everyone on here who is not Christian and who does not understand even the legacy of Christianity not waging war and being involved in the slave trade and has conflict around that. I feel like even if you look at, I love the scripture that you chose, and still, the anxious for nothing felt like too high of a bar for me. Even this morning, I was just like, but I got a lot of fear and anxiety just coursing through my body. You can't just say it. But then, actually, Miss Martha is a famous chef in Montgomery, Alabama, who cooks for Rosa Parks. And she sends me scriptures every morning because God is good and God gives you exactly what you need. And her son sent me something this morning that had that exact same scripture. And my 365 app that don't got nothing to do with Girl Trek and ain't on our listserv use the exact same scripture this morning, Vanessa. So if you believe wow. in kind of resonance, this is it. And the beginning of that scripture says, rejoice, rejoice. And so that is, before you say be anxious for anything, if rejoice and count it all joy first. And then the second third of that sentence says, let me just read it because you know my recall. I took a screen grab, just give me 1 second. It says, I think it was Philippians, right? Philippians 4?
Philippians 4, 6 through 8.
4 and 6, right? So 4 through 9, see, sometimes you got to go before and after.
Yes, you do.
That one sentence be too much. That's what I'm saying. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everybody. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your specific request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses what you could possibly understand, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then it says, this is my favorite part. It says, finally, brothers, I'm going to put sisters because, you know, God knows. Finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise in your life, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Think on words that bring you peace. Think on circumstances that are good. Meditate on what is true. Know what is pure and reject the evil, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So we have to detach ourselves from the disease of problems and conflict. And we have to detach ourselves from the disease of complaint, of worry, and the things that are true in your life. So I had to wake up and I had to just say, okay, well, what is true? Because I'm anxious for a lot right now. What is true? What is true is that I don't even know how I'm breathing. What is true is that I got these plushy comforters. What is true is that I'm about to go to the beach and talk to Vanessa. What is true is that I got the job of my dreams. What is true? What is pure? What is pure is my intentions. What is pure is this food I'm about to eat. What is it? You have to focus on those things, and peace will wash over you. That's what's on my mind. Sorry.
Well, look, don't apologize because. No. Don't apologize, because I was sitting there this morning like, I don't know how God chose me to lead this call, because I ain't got no reflection. I ain't got no questions. I ain't got no answers. I just was like, I want to know. I have so many questions. It's why, and I'm going to bring her in genuinely right now. It's why I was so happy to have Reverend Dr. Nichelle Guidry on the line, because she's a genuine teacher. And I know, by the way, shout out to the Spelman community, y'all, you go so hard. She's a teacher, she's a preacher, she's a leader. She serves as the dean of the chapel and the director of the Wisdom Center at Spelman College. And it's funny you just said detachment, Morgan, because I had two specific questions that I was hoping she can specifically help us with. One is, with everything that's going on in the world, I am just like, but how do we have peace without justice? I believe in peace, and I know it's been the question of all sorts of peace movements, and it was the question of Dr. King, the Civil Rights Movement, but like, hopefully she has some reflection for us, because peace without justice doesn't seem tangible, and it just doesn't sit right with me. And then on a very personal level, I have a question for her, because Summer Walker, who's a singer who I love, a young singer, she has a song that's really popular, and it goes, I've been losing people and finding peace. And she says it over and over again. And then now the self-care kind of Instagram movement has adopted it as some sort of like rallying cry, I'm losing people and finding peace. And I was like, but how do we get the peace and keep the people? And do we have to just detach? Because that's going to be a lonely world, and I don't want that. I want to keep the people and the peace. And so, Reverend Dr. Guidry, are you on the line? And am I even saying your last name right? I want to ask.
I am here. I am here. And you did say it right. Thank you for asking. And I am absolutely loving the conversation so far. I hope that I have something to add this morning.
I'm sure you do.
Let me speak to the second question briefly, because I hear this a lot in my work, that this idea of protecting my peace, which in many cases is code for either I have unhealed trauma, unprocessed hurt, or I don't have the tools to navigate conflict to be able to keep my people and my peace. And I often just want to just admonish people before we are so quick to discard people, which is like another crisis, right? Is how easily we discard each other and how easily we disregard each other, whether we do that through our words or whether we do that through an action of like the ghosting that Summer Walker describes. We really have to sit with the question of, is that really the key to peace? Because what we understand as Black folks is that community and connection have always been how we have survived. And those communities and those connections, and all of us know this on this line, have not been without drama, have not come without their challenges. People are some of the most challenging aspects of our lives. To be in relationship means essentially that I am opening myself up to some of the disruptions and some of the challenges that come from being in relationship. But as you keep on living, you start to realize that yes, some people aren't good for us. Some people are toxic. Some people came with an assignment to disrupt our peace, and you have to be discerning. But we can't say that across the board about everyone. In fact, many times, people are in need of some real compassion, someone to be patient with them, someone to hold space for them. And, you know, when we're talking about peace, I actually have prepared a devotional. The educator in me came in with a full outline and manuscript. I know that that's not our format.
Yes, no, come on.
There's something here that I really want to share that's really prevalent to this conversation. And Morgan, I believe in resonance. I believe in synchronicity. And let this be the fourth time that Philippians 4:6-7 comes up. Don't be anxious for anything. But there's another scripture in John where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's preparing them for their life and their ministry after he has ascended. And what he has promised to them in that verse, he says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. In other words, don't worry about forgetting. Don't worry about how you're going to do this in my physical absence. You're going to have someone here to help you. And then Jesus says to them, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. And what that conveys to me is that peace is a gift to all of us. This peace that the world did not give and the world cannot take away, is a divine gift. It is our divine portion at all times. It has been left to us. It has been endowed to us by God. And even in this moment, with everything that's happening, collectively, individually, that peace is free and it is available. And what that also says to me is that because peace is our divine portion, because it is a promise that has been unequivocally made and is held to us unconditionally every day if we tap into it, and I want to talk about that too, we know that there's enough of it to sustain us and to pass it on. And so I invite us, as we talk about this idea of protecting our peace, to really sit with what we really mean when we are saying that. What we really mean when we are acting in such a way that we think that we have to be so self-protective of something that is our divine portion and something that is so freely given. And those of us who know something about peace, who've lived through some real trials and some tribulations, know that the real peace of God that is referenced in that Philippians is so deep, and it is so efficient, and it is so powerful that you will have the power to draw others into your peace before they have the power to draw you out of yours. And that's what it means to understand.
How? I need to know how. And I'm saying this as someone who don't always have the tools that you talked about mm-hmm. earlier to navigate. And when I don't have the tools, I do feel like for my own protection, I have to like tap out. So how do we do that?
Mm-hmm. So Philippians 4:6-7, and I hate to keep things so simple, but I think with something so complex and in such a complex time, let's keep it simple. It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what that means is whatever is on your heart, whatever the challenge is, whatever it is that you're facing, turn it over to God in prayer. There's a hymn that we used to sing, and it's actually one of my favorite hymns. And one of the lines says, and I'm going to sing it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And it really means it doesn't matter how trivial it is. It doesn't matter who you think you're supposed to be in the presence of God. God already knows what's on your heart. God already knows what you're facing. God already knows that we are in the throes of so much turmoil. But God is seeking people who will stand in the gap in prayer. God is seeking people who will say, God, I don't have the answers. And I am triggered, and I really need your peace in this moment. Prayer is the portal, really, to that peace. And I think sometimes we try to figure things out, and we try to manipulate circumstances, and we try to withhold, but we try to navigate in our own strength. When prayer is always, always available to us. And sometimes prayer is the solution, but I also think sometimes prayer is the portal to the solution. In September, I had a really traumatic experience in my ministry. I had a really traumatic experience that left me just raw for days. And my truth in that moment was that I didn't even know what to pray. All I could do was sob and wail. And when I finally got down on my knees, because it took me a couple of days, because I was a little mad at God. I'm like, I'm here. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to live my life assignment. And this is what I get, God. So when I got into the moment of prayer, a solution came to me in prayer. And the solution was call your therapist, because you need somebody to process this with. And I did my therapist had an opening that week, and I was able to get in. And what we were able to come to is that experience was a transition to the next season of my ministry, that I had essentially outgrown my ministry as I had been practicing it. And that in order for me to keep growing, my practices had to evolve. My requirements had to revolve. The mindset, not only of me, but anyone who wants to do ministry with me has to also evolve. We have to be able to create containers for our peace and know that we are worthy of it. We can't, you know, just accept situations when they aren't up to par, where they aren't up to standard. We have to be able to say, for me to show up and do my best work and to be in a place of peace when I'm doing it, can we agree that this is what will take place? And the solution came because of prayer. So I think that prayer is important, but I also think practice is so important. And I think one of you mentioned this, that we have to take a few minutes every single day to practice our peace. And here I want to evoke some of the words of one of my greatest inspirations, the one and only, the great Susan L. Taylor, who said, that all we have to do every day is to carve out a little time to be still, to be centered, and to listen to the wisdom within. She's describing essentially a peace practice, a spiritual discipline, a simple act of daily devotion to plug into the spirit and tap into the peace that has been freely given. What she's really describing is a lifestyle of resisting the urge to be booked and busy, of resisting the urge to pick up your phone first thing in the morning, because there's often no peace in any of that. She's describing a peace practice that calls our attention to how we're delegating our time, our focus, and our inner energy. It's creating and honoring those moments of stillness, reflection, meditation, prayer, silence, or even as we're doing now, walking and maybe even weeping and communing with sisters on a spiritual wavelength. It's in these intentional moments that we heighten our awareness of the peace and the presence of God. And we anchor ourselves in a higher awareness of the love that exists within us by virtue of our connection with the Spirit.
You said so many things. You said so many things. Oh, a peace practice. One, I want to ask our community out there if they have any peace practices that they want to share. Star 9 and raise your hand. I want to take allow 2 to 3 voices to come in for a moment if they have any peace practices. Morgan, I know you have a lot of peace practices. What's one that you're leaning into right now?
I don't know. I need to think about that. I do have a lot of peace practices. I do have a question, though. And it goes back to Vanessa's first question. I was listening to, I'm really into Rastafari, and I believe that, like, the Rastas have cracked into something that is, like, this beautiful hybrid of Africanness and communing with nature and doctrine of peace, really, you know? That's what Bob Marley's song War is about. Until the color of a man's skin is no more significant than the color of his eyes. That's Haile Selassie's words, who is important to the Rastas. And so I was listening to Chronics. Saints, go ahead and Google Chronics. And he has this beautiful song called
Eternal Light. Yes.
Yes, and Eternal Light. I love Eternal Light so much, and I'm so glad you know it. It makes me trust you more. So thank you for that. And then, yes. But I listened to him on an interview recently, and he said, the interviewer was like, "What's up, Chronics?" And he was like, "Love." And I was like, okay, that's a good answer. And then he goes, "You know, well, how you doing?" And he said, "Everything is good. Everything is always good." And I had a very piqued interest in that answer. Is everything good? Because I actually think that that is the source of chaos in our minds. It is a crisis of faith that everything is good. And so a little bit to what Vanessa was saying around, like, how can you hold peace when there's so much injustice around? It is a classic story that Jesus had, that the Buddha had, that Gandhi had, that Dr. King had. How do you hold peace with so much women have? But I'm curious to hear your answer. You know, like prisons and taxes and war and, you know, pain and disease and how do you hold everything is good as a mantra and as a daily, like, doctrine when you see, particularly when you are a member of the oppressed and you see so much pain?
Yeah. Morgan, I just want to lift up your own wisdom because you said something really profound this morning that in the midst of so much pain, you have given your life every day to the purpose of alleviating it. And I think what's so powerful about that and what struck me when you said that, Morgan, was you reminded me of an African spirituality. We all have an ori, a path, a purpose, a glow around us that is particularly unique to each and every one of us. And the more we walk that path and we ashe the gift of God upon our lives and we do the best that we can to walk in alignment and walk in obedience and walk in service, we are walking in the fulfillment of that ori, that call, that mission, that purpose. We're walking in the commission that God gave to all of us. Go ye therefore, tell everybody something good. And I think
can I say
that
something just to what you just said? Can I say something, please? So I'm standing barefoot on a white sand beach by myself. It's not a flex. It is a testimony. It is a testimony that I called this in for myself. And what happened just while you were talking is this beautiful, bright, huge orange butterfly flew down. See if I can take a picture so I can put it on Instagram. Flew down. This ignorant lot taking a picture of this butterfly. Flew down, and it's still here. And it started just flapping its wings gently. And it's very windy out here. And it's just flapping its wings gently and touching it on the sand and kind of caressing its wings along the sand. It's still right here.
And I was just like, if that butterfly knows his path, what is it? What's the African word?
Ori.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's beautiful. If this butterfly knows the path, the ori, the purpose, the reason, the flight, you know what I mean? Can find the peace to just land right near me without being afraid, right? And it reminds me, you talked about Jesus and his disciples. Jesus was so radical. This is what I do not even like that Jesus that people don't be talking about. Jesus was so radical.
Yeah, and I love that about him.
You talk about like the, when Jesus was telling the disciples, there's another scripture in Luke that talks about how Jesus was telling the disciples, if the ravens are eating every day, if the lilies are clothed more beautiful than a princess, how could you possibly have a lack of faith? How much more will be? How could you possibly not believe? Goodbye, butterfly. How could you possibly not believe that you are cared for, that you are in a divine purpose for your life right now? And still, I just be looking like how you said you were mad at God. I just feel like, God, take away some of the pain. It is too much suffering. And like, that is my peace. And Chronic said, he was like, no, it's all every, you have to be thankful for every single thing, because even in every setback is a comeback, basically. Vanessa says it all the time, but it is your bounce. Like from your lowest place, we talked about this a little bit yesterday with Joy, from your lowest places are your bounce. And so everything is working together for your good. Then he went all in with some other Rasta stuff about how we are servants of a little bit. Even I wanted to add into the conversation you all were having about getting rid of people to have peace. That's if you are attached to something that you think is peace. But if you're an advocate of peace, if you are an agent of peace, you want every single person around you to have it. And that means that you are available to share.
That's right.
A well of peace.
Yes. And that's essentially what he's modeling in John. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. You know, peace, yes, protect your peace, yes, on one hand, but on the other hand, the more gracious hand, you have to pass it on. You know, you have to pass it on. You know, you have to share. Most recent, and I also just want to just circle back to something else that you said. I know we're getting a little windy here, but when you were describing the butterfly, in my mind, the butterfly came to you to affirm you. The butterfly came to affirm that you're right where you need to be. And because there is so much suffering and so much injustice, and so much oppression and so much evil. I'm just going to use that word. There's so much evil in the world. You know, you're right. We have limited capacity, right, to hold it. And we have an even more limited capacity to try to alleviate it. But I think the call and the assignment, and we should have peace in this, is that I am called to make my unique contribution to the manifestation of the justice of God. And so whether that means that today I'm passing on my peace by not getting into any arguments about anything with anybody, or I'm raising my voice about this issue, or I'm convening a 9-day prayer trek of Black women across the world, like whatever the assignment is for you. And I think that that's what Jesus modeled as well. Like,
can I follow up on that? As a theologian, this is something that really has disturbed my peace, because when you mention evil, I just immediately got panicked a little bit, like, because it really does disturb my whole peace practice when I think about that there's rogue evil out there. And listen, I'm not suggesting there ain't. I feel like I done confronted it in the last 72 hours. Like, I'm not suggesting that it ain't. I'm suggesting I don't know enough. And my question to you is, do you think, or do you have enemies? Because I just feel, I don't know that I believe in the concept of an enemy. And evil, evil would require that. So I wonder if you believe that you have enemies.
I think I may have people who don't agree with what I have to say. I mean, I know that for a fact. I know
that
because
that ain't what I'm talking about, sis. That ain't what I'm talking about.
I know that because of my very public stances on patriarchy, sexism, and misogynoir. I wrote a dissertation on rape culture in the Black church. Because of my very public stances on Palestine, there are tables that I'll never be invited to, and there are rooms that I'll never be invited to, and there are platforms I'll never be invited to. And I'm gonna tell you something, my integrity is intact. So I have peace mm-hmm. about all of it.
Do you love those people?
And I would say I'm indifferent. I mean, I'm not the type of person to wish harm on anyone. And God is working on me. I'm getting to the point where I wish everyone well. I wish everyone wholeness and wellness and thriving. But I also know that, you know, in cases where harm has been done to me and to others, both on an individual and on a collective scale, I know that my desire is for the justice of God to be exacted. And I don't know what that's ever gonna look like. And 9 times out of 10, Morgan, I don't even, in some cases, it's not even my business what that looks like. Because the law of reciprocity is always, we always reap what we sow. And so I can have peace. I can have peace that anytime I have been wronged, and I know that I've done some wronging to other people in my life. You know, I haven't always been the victim. And I know that it's been made clear to me that karma has come back around, and I'll be like, ooh, Lord, help me do better next time. Because
my karma is instant. As soon as I think bad, I trip. Like, it's instant.
And you know,
God,
there are some of us that God is just like, I love you too much. I care about you too much. And I got my hand on you so much that I don't want you to make those kinds of mistakes again. And so there's sometimes, like, whether they're enemies or haters or whatever you want to call them, you really just have to take your hands off of those situations, choose peace, choose to let things go, and more importantly, choose to keep on living your life, to go to pursue your peace, pursue your joy, pursue your own happiness, and spread it to those who are willing to receive it from you.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. I might respectfully disagree. And don't, and Stallman people, please do not disengage from Girl Trek. I know you are the hero. I know your work. I respect who you are. And I might respectfully disagree because I just feel like, I feel like love thy enemies is also a command, and that's hard. And I've just been
very hard.
In it. I have been in it. And
I wouldn't say that I disagree with it. I'm just being transparent that I'm not there yet.
Oh, no. That wasn't the part. I heard you say you ain't there. Mm-hmm. I ain't there yet. What you talking about? I'll barely be like, this is not that. I'm talking about on like the core level of what you said about, letting go and then and focusing on your peace, that last part that what you said, because I just, and maybe I misunderstood, so please correct me, I just feel like you brought in like African tradition, and there's an African tradition where the enemy, with a capital E, the enemy, the wicked one, the evil one, the devil is invited in, and don't get scared, science, don't get scared, it ain't turning no corner, but like is invited in because He gives choice, and we are grateful to choose God and to choose love. And He's almost a character. People be laughing. They be like, if you don't get out of here with that little old lick, he comes in with liquor in his hand, trying to pour it down. And they like, please, I choose love. I choose health. I choose wealth. I choose goodness and my family. And it is a playfulness and a decisiveness every day, not a rigidity and a fear. And I grew up in a church where I was terrified to say even the devil's name. I was even terrified to say wicked and evil. it is the visceral trauma response that I had when you said the name evil. And so what that has done is anybody who is not for me is against me. And that level of fear has really disturbed my peace, where it is a religion of difference. And it is a religion of, and so I have a hard time even calling myself religious, because it has bifurcated my love in a way that is so judgmental that I have had to talk about leveling up, reject that, and confront every single thing that I perceive to be evil with love. And that has been the hardest calling of my life. Let me tell you, it has been the hardest calling of my life. But it is the calling. It is the calling. How do you meet wickedness with love? I believe that. And so because what you said felt like a relief, and I don't want to tap out of it. I don't want us to tap out of it, because we were pumped with fear, even in our religion, to stay in line, do right, do good, from slavery, pumped with fear. And now we're expected to feel peace every day. And I just said, we've got to spit that fear out. There ain't no enemy. Yeah.
And I think, the release of fear requires, for so many people, years of healing work and unlearning what some of us were raised with, whether it's theology or whether it's some kind of a social norm what I want to commend to all of us is to be patient through those processes of growth and transformation and release and healing and coming into clarity, because they can be really difficult, and it can be hard to change, and it can be hard for your attention to be drawn to the places and the gaps and the opportunities where, maybe we received or we inherited a line of belief that wasn't good, that didn't turn out to be good for us. And it takes grace and it takes time. But I really appreciate your language of choice, even as we're changing. And even as we are going through so much, again, on an individual and a shared scale, choice is important, because peace, I ultimately believe that peace is a choice. And I'll circle us to the point of prayer, but I want to preface prayer by saying I believe that peace is not the absence of pain. It's not the absence of turmoil. It's not even the absence of trauma. It's not the absence of provocation. Peace doesn't require that we have it all together. But what peace is it is an inner anchoring. Yeah. It is a state of your spirit. It is a state of your mind. It is being and tapping into a space of stillness in the midst of the storm. It is relaxing in the present, when the past is already gone and the future has yet to be seen. Peace is an inner knowing that there are some things that are simply beyond our control, and what is beyond our control is in God's hands.
Beautiful, thank you.
And it is God's hands that makes us instruments of God's peace. It is God's hands that make us vessels and conduits of God's peace, so that that peace doesn't stop with us. Peace is an inner assurance of knowing that no matter what, come hell, come high water, highs, lows, vicissitudes, changes, people coming, people going, there is one consistent presence in my life that will never leave me, never forsake me, and that is the Spirit of God.
What I love about
our divine portion.
Sorry. What I love about what you just said is that you talked about what I think is a line between what I'm saying and what you're saying is grace. Right. And I don't always think that grace is repose or passive. Because I interrupted you to talk about grace, because I actually think grace sometimes is active. And so I think when we're giving our enemies, in quotes, lowercase e, grace, I think it's sometimes leaning in, not leaning out.
Yes.
And I think that is the through line between what I'm saying and what you're saying. And then I think leaning out means picking up what's for you. And, you know, everybody on here knows I talk about Dr. Maya Angelou, who says, don't pick up what ain't for you. Don't put down what you know to be true. I think that is also a grace practice. So thank you so much. This was really helpful to me, and I hope it was helpful to others. Vanessa, thank you for letting me dive into that question.
Yeah, thank you both for the conversation. And Dr. Guidry, if you don't mind staying on the line, I want to bring in just like 2 to 3 women. We have a lot of hands raised with a reflection or testimony, and then we're going to ask for you to just pray us on out of here.
Yes, I love that.
All right. Okay. Tyree, who we got on the line?
Come on, sister, don't be scared.
Hello there. Tyree says she's on.
You may be on mute, sis. We can't hear you if you're talking. You may have to unmute yourself.
Well, thank God she did talk to you, because I just got a message reminding that we did not announce the church winner.
No, Tyree. Wow, you are queuing up this caller. I got it right here, though, so I'm ready. Just as a reminder, y'all, every day on these calls, there's a tithe, a thank you, a blessing. We are investing $1,000.
We're about to make it rain on the
from across the country. And I have for you today, New United Missionary Baptist Church, led by Lucretia Shuttles. I don't know what city they're in because I can't see that part, but New United Missionary Baptist Church, led by Lucretia Shuttles, is the winner of our church investment today. So thank you for that reminder, Cynthia.
Of all of the churches, the names of Black churches are my favorite. They be good, they be specific, they be scriptural. Shout out. How much are we giving to each church's ministry?
$1,000.
Make it rain. That could buy a lot of
us. That's a nice love offering.
Yeah, that could buy a lot of leotards for the praise
team. And we want to see some pictures. All right, we got a new person on. Hello, sister, are you there?
Hi, yes. This is TL in Memphis.
Hi, T.O.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for this time and devotion and walking and just putting our feet to the pavement. And I originally pressed *9 when you asked about peace practices, and wanted to share about devotion and writing down prayers. And I'm sure a lot of people do this. This is not new or anything, but as a daily affirmation, but then also I tend to stretch while I'm doing that, and it stretches both my mind and body, and like stretching and leaning into God as that's occurring. And so that's one thing that I try to do most mornings, is like to physically be the embodiment of the stretching and growing that I'm asking God to do in my life.
I love that.
And I'm in a pursuit of peace phase in my life right now anyway. So when you asked that question, it was just like, yes, you know, I got to jump in on this. And one of my major things, and a lot of people have heard this or do this, is just taking time to breathe in and breathe out and put your feet in the grass, or put your bare feet to the earth. And when Morgan was talking about being on the beach, I was like, you know, it's just such a powerful moment to take for yourself. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. That. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yes. All right, Tyree. I think we have time for one more. Sorry. I want to bring in one more person.
We're bringing her in, Vanessa. I just wanted to say, I heard a somatic healer that talks about the actual electrical release you get by putting your feet in the ground. That is, stresses can be recorded in terms of like electrical pulse, in terms of hormones, and you can actually like drink a lot of water and release stress hormones, but you can put your feet on the dirt, on the grass, and release kind of the physical stress from your body. So that is really important. And getting in a posture of release too is beautiful. I love that.
haven't.
Hi, sister. Do we have someone else joining us? We got a reflection or a praise report?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, oh my gosh. I'm Jeanette. I'm walking with you guys since you guys did the LA tour right after Nipsey Hussle was taken out of here before he died. So I've been transformed by the walk. I have a walking community. It got me through grad school, got me through the pandemic. I would not have graduated actually without Girl Trek. Girl Trek, because I was forced to move away from my family to finish my doctoral training and just had a lot of trauma, a lot of grief. And so just having an embodied practice of prayer walking just really not only sustained me, but I just wanted to thank you. But I originally raised my hand. I'm like, I cannot believe they call me in the middle of me making my green smoothie. Like of all days, I called in. One spiritual practice that first of all, I've been walking for about 4 years and didn't realize that it was a spiritual practice. So it is right now my primary spiritual practice. But another spiritual practice that I've developed is sitting with my stomach and my gut and just letting the Holy Spirit just kind of discern and help me discern what my body is holding. I hold a lot of emotion, a lot of my responses to the external world in my gut. And it has affected my digestion, it's affected my mood, it has affected my weight, so much of that. And so it's been part of my trauma work actually, because I've been had a sense of stomach since I was a little girl, and I've just been really learning and appreciating and thankful for the gut that I've been given, because it connects me to spirit, it connects me to body, it connects me to the external world. And it's something that, because of trauma, I've ignored for about 40 something years. But I've been given a good gut. And so yeah, that's part of my embodied spiritual practice. It's just attuning to my stomach. So I won't eat when my stomach is upset. I'll walk and it prompts me to do some bodily care. And so that's been something that I've incorporated in my life recently.
Those are really good suggestions. Thank you so much. And I'm so grateful for your words and that you're walking in this community and that it has been such a help to you. Thank you for the testimony. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you, Vanessa, for sharing your testimony yesterday. I also was diagnosed with a thyroid disorder. And so your words yesterday and sharing your testimony just gave me a renewed hope about just really leaning into God as my healer. So I just want to thank you.
Right. You are more than welcome. All right, y'all. I'm mindful of getting everybody to their jobs, to their kids, to their families before the hour. This has been such a blessed call. I didn't know what to anticipate or to expect. I appreciate the both of you for leaning in. And Dr. Guidry, I would be so grateful if you could close us out in a prayer for all of the women everywhere who are walking.
Absolutely. I'd be honored. And thank you so much for the invitation to join the prayer trek. I feel so grateful to also have this kind of community with an organization that has meant so much to me and to so many other Black women. And you all have rooted for our wellness. And I just want to say thank you for that. So let's go to God in prayer. God, we just come before you today to, first of all, just honor this moment and to say thank you for the blessing of another day, to say thank you for the blessing of life, to say thank you for the blessing of prayer, that you are always available to us to come to you in prayer. Your word says that we can come to you in prayer to receive grace and to receive help and to receive strength, insight, and power in the time of need. We want to say thank you for this fellowship. Thank you that even though we might be sitting in our rooms alone or walking on the pavements alone, God, we are sharing space across time zones, across faith identities, across generations even. with women, with Black women who are seeking the more of you. And in this moment, oh God, we say a special prayer for peace. In this moment, in this time of so much upheaval and so much turmoil, God, we pray for your peace. Yes, God, even your peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we come to you in prayer because we understand that we are contending with forces that are bigger than us. We understand that we are also in your hands, God. Our lives are in your hands. Our bodies are in your hands. Our time, our days are in your hands. And we know that you are the author and the finisher of every single one of our stories, oh God. And so we come before you as the one who is our peace. And we ask that you would, God, speak to the places inside of us that are in distress. Speak to the places on the inside of us that are confused. Speak to our inner chaos. And God, we ask that you would speak a word of peace. Remind us that we are not alone. Remind us that we are in your hands. Remind us that we are loved and we are taken care of. Remind us that we are the apple of your eye. Remind us that you go before us. Remind us that you follow us on the left and the right. Remind us that you promised that goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our lives. In this moment, we just lay it down. Whatever it is that we're carrying, God, whatever it is that is disrupting our peace, we lay it down. God, the things that we're trying to understand, the things that we're trying to control, the circumstances that we're trying to fix in our own favor, God, we lay it down. We understand that your vision and your sight are so much bigger than ours. You see the elements that we cannot see. You see so far into the future that we do not know. And so we ask in this moment as we lay it down that we would pick up your peace for this day, God. That we would pick up your peace for this day. God, that we would practice your peace. We would take this moment to just acknowledge that we're blessed. To acknowledge that though everything might not be perfect, it's good. And we're good. We ask that you would allow us to be vessels of your peace. If we meet somebody today that's in need of peace, help us to pass it on. Help us to be beacons of peace. God, as there's so much strife all over the world, we pray for the people in Syria. We pray for the people in Ethiopia. We pray for the people in Gaza. We pray for the people in Palestine. We even pray for the people in Israel. We pray for people in Brooklyn and Memphis and Houston and Atlanta and all over this country who are suffering in this place. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. You know the prayers that we don't even have the words to pray. And so once again, we thank you for your spirit that intercedes on our behalf and on behalf of this world with sighs and groans that are too deep for words, God. Thank you that we don't always have to have the words to ask for what we need. So as we face this day, we face it with peace. We face it with power. We face it in confidence that all things are working together for the good of those who love you, Lord, and are called according to your purpose. We face this day with confidence, knowing that all the things concerning us, you know them. And you are working things out on our behalf and in our favor in ways that we could never. You are the God that does exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. And so we ask that as we wait to see how you resolve some things and how you work some things out and how you bring things together, that we would simply grab a hold of your peace. And by faith we do. We breathe it in this moment. We breathe in your peace. We breathe in your peace. We know that you are here. We know that you are with us. We know that we are with each other. And we know that when two or three are gathered in your name, you are in our midst to hear our prayer. And we know that because you hear our prayer, you are moving in accordance to your perfect will and your perfect way in response to our prayers. And that is why we walk and pray, because we serve a God that hears us. And so I pray your blessings upon each and every person on this line, the households and the communities and the congregations that they represent. Anoint them right now, God, in the name of Jesus, from the crowns of their head to the soles of their feet. Anoint them to take on this day with power, with peace, and most importantly, with love. Anoint us that everywhere we go, somebody gonna see the light inside of us. Let us pass it all on. God, we thank you for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. The Spirit of God is all over you, sister. All over you. Thank you for that. Woo, woo, woo.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Amen.
So I just pray that you all have a fantastic rest of your day. Choose peace. Choose love. And I can't wait to log in tomorrow for the next prayer call.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for calling in. We will talk to you tomorrow and walk with you tomorrow. Tag somebody in so that they can join the conversation.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Vanessa and Morgan. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.